I don't think at this point anybody gives a shit about feedback. Welcome to the Hullcast. This is episode three, part B. Whatever. Following the extensive shenanigans of the previous episode, which you were hopefully have already listened to online. We had an extensive discussion about the merits of spot editing and things like that. We
talked about a lot of things.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, obviously, we've not yet reached the point where the sponsors have just loaded us with all kinds of free audio gear that we could talk about the excellence of, you know, it's
DIY, man. It's like you just work with what you have.
Yeah, but you know what? Shout out to Radio Shack. They keep it real.
Radio Shack keeps it real.
All y'all high-end audio motherfuckers, I don't know who you are. I know who Radio Shack is. Multiple locations all over Florida. Yes. Hey, shout out to the pawn shop, the generic one. His name we don't even know. Anyway, this is the Hullcast.
Le Pawn Shop.
Hullcast. Shout out to Kelly Rice, Birdie's patron of the month for July 2011. I am drinking my whiskey and ginger out of a large muggish looking thing that has your face on it. And it's nice. You know, the whiskey tastes much better. I swear to God. Shout out to Jack Daniel. Shout out to the Seagram's Company for the ginger ale they provide tonight.
So gingery.
Shout out to gingers around the world for providing the flavor that the soda companies have tried with varying degrees of success to synthesize in a drink. This is the Hullcast. If you want to find out more about the Hullcast, you can go to the Hullcast page on Facebook.com. You can go to the Hullcast site at hullcast.podbean.com. You can look at my Facebook page. You can look at Party Phil's Facebook page. You can look at King Willie's Facebook page. You can look at Cody Barksdale's Facebook page. You can look at many of our friends' Facebook pages and so on and so forth, because these are the best Facebook pages ever, especially mine. You can call me. Area code 904-309-1208. Email me, sheltonhall@gmail.com. Whatever you want to talk about. If you want to sponsor, sponsor up. We don't give a shit what you're selling, you know.
No,
it'd be nice if you were conscientious business people and you were like green and, you know, down with the 99% and all that, but you know, fuck it, we're from the hood. We'll take your money. Just no questions. Just keep it real. Right now,
no questions, just keep it real.
Yes, yes, yes. That's the only question. Son. Are you keeping it real? You're keeping it real? Okay, no more questions. Now, we're going to go to the subject of Occupy Wall Street / Occupy America, whatever hashtags you want to shout out on the Twitter, do so online. What happened today? This is, right now we're recording, this is Thursday night, October 26th, that we're doing episode 3, part A and B. Earlier today, over in Oakland, California.
Oh, it was like yesterday already.
Was it yesterday? Well, it happened.
Like yesterday.
Well, it was 5 a.m.
Yeah. 5 a.m. Fuck. When everybody was sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what's so diabolical about it. Oakland's a fucked up city anyway. California's a fucked up state. It's been fucked up for a long time.
It's funny that that would occur in a place like Oakland, where the most.
Thanks for crack, California!
Coakland? I don't think. Is it Oakland or is it Coakland?
It depends on who you ask.
Depends on who you ask, right? Well, I just want to say something about Oakland. I mean, Free Berkeley Movement. You know, it's an epicenter of political upheaval. That would happen in California because California is where American politics was born.
Absolutely.
The new left, baby.
Well, California is also where the economic recession really helped get started. Even before Florida, California has been running their finances shady for a long, long time, particularly Orange County. I remember reading stories about Orange County going bankrupt like back in the 90s, you know, and that was like one of the biggest, wealthiest sections of California. I don't know. It's shout out to the cops, respect to the cops, respect to law enforcement, you know, especially out here in Florida, respect to like JSO and FDOT and, you know, Department of Transportation. Shout out to fucking FDLE. Shout out to the FBI. Shout out to the Coast Guard. All four branches of the military. Blah blah blah, etc. You know, all of whom are friends and comrades of the podcast, 99%, et cetera. But fact is, there's assholes in every group. There's a bad apple in every bunch. You know, I'm a black man, so I speak from experience. Party Phil is Latino. What percentage? What percentage Latino are you?
100. All I know is Colombian.
That's all you need to know, really.
Well, all I know. I mean, that's what I grew up on, Colombian and Miami. And
shout out to the Colombians.
Shout out to Colombia.
And shout out to the Dominicans also. And since we're talking about Miami, shout out to the Haitians, the Cubans as well. We're gonna come back.
I mean, it's all one group, I think. I mean, if we want to get political,
are we agreed that America needs to normalize relations with Cuba so that Florida can make that fucking money
absolutely.
And make Cuba the 68th county in Florida?
Yes, we all want to go to Cuba.
Yeah, I'll go.
Cuba,
dying to go. Jesus,
we're all. I mean, we all like. Everybody loves Cuba, and I think it's antiquated to not like to not make Cuba part of our society. It's ridiculous. Nobody is opposed to the idea.
Yeah. It's not like Castro's going to get over. He's like 80 years old. That shit's over.
It's over. It's done.
And that's an example of how, like, America's just stupid, childish fixation with, like, anti-communism is just undermining the capitalist system that our economy is really about. That's another thing about the 99%.
America's an ideology when it wants to be one. And not one when it doesn't want to be one. America doesn't have any adherences to anything or anybody. It just does whatever it wants at all times, regardless of what other people think.
Yeah, we usually do it whatever we want. At the Hullcast, we do whatever we want.
That's true.
Yes. When you've already died 1,000 deaths in your soul, what's one more, right?
I just believe in autonomy. And attempting to live within it.
Absolutely.
I was reading a Wikipedia article about some French communists or from French anarchists and stuff.
Yeah. And those of you out there, if you've never heard of Wikipedia, it is an interesting website that if you went to it, I think you would enjoy it.
Or Time Magazine.
Yes. Yes.
Or the New Yorker, or other stuff.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. Shout out to Seymour Hersh, since you were just talking about the New Yorker. He's an amazing fella. Shout out to Nat Hentoff, one of the greatest. Shout out to Jimmy Breslin. I don't think Jimmy Breslin's even writing actively, but dude is the fucking... He's awesome. He's one of the great columnists ever.
I didn't know that.
He wrote a column, got a Pulitzer Prize in 1963, right after JFK died. He wrote a column about the guy who dug JFK's grave. And the way he did it was he just wrote about the guy like he was a regular person. Like, he was a New York reporter. Breslin's a New York reporter. This man on the street talking about the guy, blah, blah, blah. And then it comes around to the end, they realize that this is the guy that's digging the grave for John F. Kennedy. And apparently he didn't even know it till the reporter told him, you know? So it was one of those things, literally, 2 hours' work. And the guy, he made his fucking name off that. It's the kind of business that every reporter would love to have in any given moment. The kind of business that we here at the Hullcast have all the time. It's so you know,
it's following not such strict guidelines and stuff.
Yeah. We blow more minds than the hookers in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Shout out to all of them.
I blow my own mind. Just
that's what yoga will do for you. Kidding. This Occupy thing. It really bothered me, the Occupy situation. And I go back and forth with people about this. Cats think that I'm somehow running it, or that I'm a spokesman for it, or anything like that. I'm just a private citizen. Everyone knows what I do in my business. You know, I have no problem speaking up for what I believe in and what I'm saying. but I saw them and I saw what they were doing and I supported them. I supported the Occupy New York crew, you know, through Adbusters and all that before it had even really gone national. What set me off was the violence. What set me off was, like, you know, for those of you who know me, I mean, I look very youthful, but I am, in fact, 33 years old.
Who cares about age?
Wow. You're old as fuck.
I know.
You're old as fuck, man.
I know. It's like I'm almost as old as my clothes.
Which are pretty dapper, by the way.
Oh, sure. Ralph Lauren, shout out, greatest menswear designer of all time.
Yes.
Motherfucker.
High
fashion. Yeah. You see a Jew in denim, you know he's ballin'. I'll say that much. Yeah, it's true.
What about a black guy in denim?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
He's ballin' too.
Oh, yeah.
You see anybody in denim, you know they're ballin'. And especially all denim, you know, they're high fashion.
Well, Lauren embraces the denim as like almost a pastiche. You know, you rarely see him wearing suits. He's almost always wearing denim. Like,
it's true.
Like, you look him up, he's usually wearing, like, all denim ensembles. Like, denim shirt, denim jeans, cowboy boots, a denim jacket on top of the denim shirt, cowboy hat.
Because he loves that style.
Yeah.
That's the style that he embraces.
And he's driving, like, a Maserati or something. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
He looks like the dad from Parent Trap, number one.
Ooh.
But is in all denim.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, Ralph Lauren's been a Parent Trap many, many times, especially the first week of the school year. You know, yeah, it's a tragedy, isn't it? I know how you feel.
Feel for me.
Yeah, I'm 33 and I see these kids out there protesting on behalf of Occupy, whatever, and they're new. Certainly, in many cases, they don't know everything that's going on, but nobody does. The subject of why the American economy is fucked up is so complicated that it defies anybody's ability, you know? I mean, hell, me and Parfil, we're two of the smartest in this room. And
well, there's only three of us here right now. So.
I know, it's like, you know.
But, I mean, the reality would be that in some essence, we could be... I don't want to get into specifics about who's smart and who's not smart.
No, but what I'm saying is,
and I agree. You haven't even said it, but I agree.
Hmm.
Because I think we agree on the same things in a lot of ways, and that's interesting. It's an interesting perspective to be.
The Hullcast preempts linear time to impact a person's brain on a subconscious level that they almost don't even know until they just know. It's very random.
If you understood that, then you can keep going with us.
Most people understand it. At least here in Duval.
I hope they do.
Circles we run in, like, you know.
I want them to understand. I want a lot of people to understand to understand a certain idea based off when you're thinking and ideas, freedom of thought.
Absolutely. What happened to me?
It's good to talk about stuff on a post level.
I saw these young people and also a lot of old people. Like, it definitely transcends like generational ground. Like, a lot of old hippies and old leftists and stuff, and these new college kids. They were coming out there protesting, and they were just sort of like, "Hey, we're gonna stand around on the streets in New York and, like, you know, make some noise and beat some drums and talk about how." The economy's fucked up because everybody knows the economy's fucked up, and talk about how corporations and bankers are shady because everybody knows corporations and bankers are shady. And they're staying around doing this, and these are like, you know, they're not like fucking ski mask wearers. It's not like some WTO shit. It's not like what was happening in London. These are just a bunch of like young people that for their own reasons like felt like coming there and like hanging out and networking, most of whom I can say from direct experience are fucking harmless. Like, I've been to, like, a lot of these, like, protests, like, you know, over the years, and I, you know, these, and I'd say this even of the Tea Party people, like, these fucking people are not gonna, like, fuck anything up, you know? Because if they're out there protesting in some civil disobedience type fashion, then they're not dangerous. The dangerous people are already armed up, they're already manned up, and they're already doing the dirty shit that they need to do. That's why a lot of these like social protests that have been happening around the world over the last couple of years have descended into violence. You know, in a place like Jacksonville, you've got the protesters that are completely peaceful. You have the law enforcement community that's completely peaceful because the fucking cops are from Florida, so they're smarter than most cops anyway. They're not these like goddamn barbarians up in NYPD, like pepper spraying like rich white girls from Ivy League colleges on videotape, knowing full well what the consequences are. You know, that's what set it off. That's why I got involved, because I figured, hey, if cats, and this really speaks to my colleagues in the media, in the commercial media, in this lickspittle, shameless propaganda press that has lied and cheated and stole and sold the ground out from unborn feet forever for the last 20, 30 years. The way they talk about these young kids that are out there, they're just pissed off because the harder they work, the less money they make. They're pissed off because, you know, their tuitions are going up by, in some cases, double digits every year. And they're getting, the way people talk about them, they say, oh, go get a job. Oh, lazy, homeless, loser, blah, blah, blah. You know?
They have no idea about, they don't have anything.
They don't know what the fuck they're talking about. No.
People don't even understand anything about reality.
No.
I feel like a disconnect from most of my older peers.
Yeah.
You know,
The kids that are out there around this country protesting on behalf of Occupy Wall Street, and certainly, and I say fundamentally, of course, with all social movements, all political protests, there's all kinds of shady money, all kinds of shady constituencies coming involved. And I... staying here in Florida, I would not attempt to speak with full authority on what's going on up in New York, you know, where the money for that's going on, what's going on in Zuccotti Park, blah, blah, blah. But I will say that the young people that are protesting in places like Jacksonville, places like Chicago, Philadelphia, Washington, you know, Charlotte, Miami, Atlanta, Austin, Dallas, New Orleans, you know, all into the West Coast and such, they represent the elite. You know, I'm not the elite. I'm a poor black man from Florida. You know, the fact that I am the very best in the world at what I do is incidental to the actual demographics of it, because I don't have the cash flow to back that up. You know, I'm not, I'm not Warren Buffett's children that are out here like protesting on behalf of these things. I'm not the veterans and the off-duty cops and things like that, they're out there supporting it. I'm not the ones that can't publicly say that they support it, but they tell me that they support it in hopes that I say that I support it so much louder and cats understand. You know, I put myself out there on their behalf, you know, and I don't, there's a lot of stuff they, I go to the General Assemblies and they, I don't say much. There's a lot that they support, that they advocate, that is not what I would personally do in terms of politics, but fuck it. It's their thing. They do what they want. They have their reasons. I'm here. I just stand around there specifically in case there's a bully. You know, it's just like when we were involved in politics. It's like bully the bullies, cheat the cheaters, and violate the violators. If you got nothing better to do than like pepper spray some fucking like innocent 120-pound women because they were standing up for their rights, well, you can get something a little bit better. You know? Now you go up there to New York, you've got like hundreds of like military veterans, you know, active duty military people in plain clothes. You know, you got people that are actual insiders. You've got, you know, congressional staffers and, you know, city council staffers and whatnot in that same mix, you know, and their children all up in that mix because they support it. They completely understand, you know, the notion that this is a confrontation between the working class and the elite is to some extent true, but to some extent it's illusory. Because, you know, in my opinion, based on my research and what I've heard and the people I've talked to, a lot of the elite, the people in the 1%, a lot of the 1% are part of the 99%. You know? It could very well be that 99% of the 1% are part of the 99%. Because they're losing their money too as well. Like, it's not to say they're not shady, it's not to say they're not ruthless business people, but the way the system is structured right now is unsustainable, and they're losing money too. You know? And if you're, now granted, if you're a billionaire, you're not gonna hurt for money. You're not gonna be poor if you have like one bad year or one bad quarter or whatever. But if you're a billionaire, you know, and you lose like 20% of your net worth in a year, that's definitely something that you're gonna look at and pay fucking attention to. Because these guys, you know.
Sheldon, I don't know if you play poker. Yeah. Exact same.
Yeah.
If you're big stacking, you're going to fucking get involved in a lot of hands. If you're scraping, you got one more shot.
That's right. Because these guys, you know, they sacrifice a large amount of their time and their energy, the time that they would spend with their wives and their spouses and their children and their friends and whatnot, is occupied doing God knows what to stack this fucking paper. You know? So when you get somebody like Warren Buffett, it's like, wait, hold on. 10 years ago, I was the richest man. Me and Bill Gates were the richest man in the world,
right,
flat out. But now we're competing for net worth with people like Gaddafi and the guys that run the Mexican cartels, you know, and all these like the Saudi sheikhs.
To the point where they have to start narrowing the award. Richest man legally within the confines of the contiguous nut.
Yeah.
That's why the richest men in the world keeps getting focused, because they have to cut out all these other.
Yeah.
They have to cut out.
Except dictators.
Bill Gates didn't get married till he was like close to 50.
I wonder why.
Because he was too busy stacking paper. Yeah, he stacked paper, and then he put most of his net worth into Warren Buffett's. No, Warren Buffett put most of his net worth into Bill Gates' fund, as did Gates, who put a lot of his personal net worth into the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has been, they bled money over the last 3 years. You know, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is really the reason why, you know, public schools in the United States are as computer literate as they are. You look at those machines, the stuff that have come through the last 10, 15 years, that's what they did, you know, on their own account. And it's, this is a really, to me, it's really disgusting the way that people talk about these protesters, you know. And I'd also say, you know, the cats that are involved in these protest movements around the country that are agitating people, pushing people to get arrested on purpose, you know, the ones that are throwing the rocks and whatnot to, like, give, like, law enforcement the excuse to crack down, fuck those cats, you know. And fuck the cops that can't control themselves, you know. 99.9% cops in this country. Well, I have some experience, but I can't say exclusively. I'll say 99.9% of JSO are basically decent people. And they do the job the way that they're supposed to do the job. You know? The issue is the politicians. If the laws, you know, I always say if the drug war was put up to an up or down vote exclusively of police officers, it'd be gone.
What is this? I mean, what is the drug war besides a...
It's political. It's COINTELPRO.
A feeble attempt of what it's like to be a Gestapo.
The drug war is how COINTELPRO was extended to white people. The same.
The drug war is what it's like to be anti-communist. Mm-hmm.
Drug war is a precursor to the Patriot Act. Yeah.
I mean, it's a...
No-knock searches, you know, anonymous sources, you know.
It's pretty fucked up.
In fact, anybody can pick up their phone at any time and call an anonymous tip on anybody they want, whether they've ever met them or not, and, like,
really
get their shit
up.
Rated, you know. It's terrible. It's a huge, huge waste of law enforcement resources. Not only is it a huge waste of money, which we're beginning to see the full consequences of this waste of money, but it's jeopardizing people's lives for no good reason.
America has made a lot of mistakes for so long, and the fact that we're just living with them is remarkable.
Police officers killed in the line of duty is up almost 20% in 2010 versus 2009. They haven't fully compiled the figures of 2011, but 2011 will be higher than 2009. So we'll have several straight years of an increase in this. And a lot of that...
I wonder why.
It's a drug war.
Well, I wonder why is ironic for me, because
it's setting up domestic...
Look at our society.
It's making cops go and making them serve bullshit warrants in the middle of the night on people that are A, heavily armed, and B, know in advance that it's coming. You know? Because as we know, particularly in the high level drug trade,
it's not like they're not going to be strapped.
I've never loaded plane loads of blow. I've never even seen that shit. But when you're on that level, anecdotally speaking, you compromise law enforcement. You know, anyone who is doing anything of any major consequence in this country has already, bought themselves an insider. So that if there's a warrant to be served, they know.
Yeah, they know. They know.
Most of the major ones don't even set foot in this country. I mean, look what's happened with all these Mexican cartels. You know? I mean... We could have had people just growing... We could have just had people just growing their own marijuana domestically in the United States... For super fucking cheap prices, you know, the bags of pot that people buy should be 10% of what they cost retail. That extra surcharge, that extra inflated cost, that's our government artificially inflating the values of these goods so that large scale international traffickers that have already bought a piece of corporations, these government ties back into corporate control of our politics and control of our media, etc. It's eliminating competition for the high-level traffickers that are already bought into our system. And it's blatant. It's been going on like this for years. It's just like all the heroin traffic coming out of the Golden Triangle in Asia in the 1960s. Associated with the Italian mafia, that's all out there. That's all public record.
Yeah.
We don't have to elaborate on that. Yeah. So 5 a.m. they served up those protesters in Oakland. In a city that's been like Oakland. Oakland's like the Detroit of the West Coast.
Correct.
You know?
I agree.
It's like those fuckers,
Well, they just they're really...
The city governments of California in general the last decade have sucked ass, no exception of Gavin Newsom.
California's not really a nice place to live anymore. Whatever. It's so... politicized because it's so shitty.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, it's God, it's they never do anything right.
Yeah.
It's so hard to be in California.
Yeah. That's why the porn industry is set out there. That's why Hollywood's set out there.
There's nothing to do, yeah. I agree.
Ruthless, satanic bullshit.
Lame shit.
Mm-hmm. We say more with silence here at the Hallcast than most people say with the megaphone.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
More than silence, less than a megaphone.
Party Phil is rocking the Magic Johnson throwback jersey from the Olympic team years.
This is a true statement.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
My hair is really long on the top, but like incredibly short on the side.
It's
But it looks better in a hat, right? Does it look awesome in a hat?
Yeah, because it's covered.
Yeah. I don't want it. Yeah,
it's all good. Well, you got that sweet haircut at the art walk. Why'd you switch that up?
It grew out a little bit.
It was like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I got frustrated. That haircut was one of my better haircuts. I wish I would see that guy again.
Well, he was probably somewhere around. You'll see him somewhere.
Whatever his name was.
Yeah.
That was awkward. It wasn't awkward, but it was like, I thought it was a good haircut. So cheap. It's not the kind of person you want to see all the time or every day.
Keep your friends close and your barber closer.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah. Florida's a very frenemy type.
Frenemy.
Yeah, I hate that word. Like, I hate the fact that that word has usefulness. Like, the fact that I can use that word in a sentence without irony and have it resonate.
Is it cause for distress?
It does something terrible to my soul. Yeah. I don't know.
That's up to you to decide what does.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fine.
You alright?
Oh, yeah.
He's obviously in an important conversation.
Oh, well, clearly. They should have a conversation on the microphone. It'd be probably more interesting than this. Just kidding.
This is...
In the near future, we're going to get a security camera set up and rig up like 3 or 4 cameras inside this room.
True.
To document the proceedings to be put on the web and all that. We have more black bars in Springfield, though.
We ain't in Springfield.
Hmm?
We ain't in Springfield.
Little black bars, like censorship bars.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I thought you meant black bars, like actual bars.
Hmm. No, no. Just a play on words. Remember, kids, words are instruments of control.
Words?
Mm-hmm. If you're listening to the Hallcast right now, you must be really bored. The silence, the way it just reverberates through time. But it's
the
cool.
The energy.
Yeah. Hallcast listeners probably have this on their computers. You know.
I would think of this as
at some point well into the distant future, long after we're all dead.
Yes.
And they are...
especially after we're all dead.
Yes.
I would like to be remembered after I'm dead.
Oh, you will be.
I think I will, man.
Absolutely.
Honestly, man, my music's pretty crucial.
I don't think either of us are going to die anytime soon.
No, I think we're going to be so old. That's going to be the hard part. Because I don't want to be old. I just want to be dead and gone. Young, dead and gone.
No. You got good genes, like, you know.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, you'll look young for a very long time, probably, so there's no point in dying.
That's true. You're very right about that. I will look young for a long time.
As long as my body and my mind are intact, I'm down to stay alive. Financially speaking, I'm worth more dead than alive, but, you know, the longer I stay alive, the more it sort of builds up, you know?
I know the feeling.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
I mean, I've already got a place and stuff.
Hmm?
I already got, like, my own place and stuff.
Nice. Shout out to Pilot Pens, Maine, Jacksonville. Shout out to Swisher Cigars, Maine, Jacksonville. None of those fuckers have given us a dime yet, but we'll shout them out anyway.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you want to support something, then you're worth something.
Yeah. I like the idea that there are listeners out there listening to us, listening to King Willie. And then there's probably someone out there listening to them listen to us listen to King Willie. It's a very...
sort of paradoxical in a certain regard.
Yes.
Sort of in the third person. Mm-hmm. In a third person post-world.
Yes.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or in third world... first person. Third world post person.
Yeah. It's a strange world. Very much predictable, but nonetheless strange.
Yeah. Well, just because it's strange doesn't mean it's not predictable.
Intentional
or not, it's not going to leave. All right, this is Hullcast, episode 3, part B. We're going to wrap this one up.
Wrap it up.
We may do another one. We may not. We may go out in the streets and do it in your face.
Do it in your face, man.
You know.
Well, what? It's over, man.
We may wait for you to go to sleep and do it in your dreams.
No.
Or your nightmares, depending on who you are.
Girl, I'm going to be in your dreams all night.
I don't know who you're talking to. Man.
Neither do I.
But she's a lucky lady.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Woo-hoo!
Over.
Woo-hoo! Woo! Woo! Woo!